From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. Juneau's Back Loop Bridge is back open for traffic 2 weeks after suffering damage from Juneau's record-breaking glacial outburst flood. The Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities announced last night that the emergency bridge work is complete. Engineers say the bridge is safe for the public. The department closed the bridge as a precaution before the annual glacial outburst flood, which eroded the riverbank nearby and damaged an abutment wall. Hundreds of homes along the Mendenhall River were spared from damage because of the temporary levee the city installed this spring and summer. Several homes still saw significant damage. According to the report, there will be a gravel approach to the bridge in place for a short period. They say to expect potential intermittent lane closures and crews on site as they begin asphalting and paving the area as soon as next week. The department says there will be more permanent river work and bank stabilization surrounding the bridge in the coming months. And Petersburg's school buildings and surrounding area were on lockdown for over an hour yesterday afternoon. Police received a report of a person with an AR-15 gun and multiple magazines in the school bathroom, but officers found no real threat on the premises. Police Chief Jim Kerr says it was a false report and the investigation is ongoing.
I'm sure people were alarmed, but rest assured, it's safe and we're allowing employees back, and that's why the investigation continues now.
The school year in Petersburg doesn't start until next month, but teachers are already working and some students were on campus registering. Officers evacuated everyone from the buildings. They searched the school district premises and found no suspect or evidence of a gunman. Kerr told a group of people waiting outside that it was safe to return to the campus around 3:20 p.m. He said the investigation remains ongoing as law enforcement looks into who made the report and why. Governor Mike Dunleavy's 30-day special session ends this weekend, and lawmakers don't plan to meet at the Capitol again. But the governor left open the possibility of calling another special session today. This is Dunleavy answering the question during a press briefing in Anchorage.
We're having a discussion. I'll let you know.
Dunleavy's statement comes after House leadership notified representatives earlier today that a technical session scheduled for Sunday morning, the last day of special session, was canceled. The governor originally called the session earlier this summer with a plan for lawmakers to consider his education reform policies and to create a new state agricultural department. Neither happened. Instead, lawmakers convened and overrode two of his vetoes, including restoring more than $50 million in state funding for public schools. And instead of adjourning, lawmakers decided to keep the session open to prevent Dunleavy from calling them back into session. In a statement today, the governor's communications director, Jeff Turner, called the legislature's actions disappointing. A group of state lawmakers kicked off a task force in education funding earlier this week. The aim of the 18-month-long study is to examine Alaska's public schools and find areas of improvement. And the Juneau School District Board of Education unanimously accepted nearly $120,000 in grant funding for one of its alternative schools. The money will help fund several positions at Montessori Borealis, including a paraeducator. Southeast Alaska Friends of Montessori, or CFOM, is a Juneau nonprofit that regularly funds additional staffing and training needs for Montessori Borealis, the district's public Montessori school. Montessori schools have a different structure than traditional schools and are usually private schools. Cecil McNutt is the president of the nonprofit. He says it takes more work to make sure the program can still run under the school district's requirements for public schools.
And that's why we're working with the school district so hard to make sure that we got good staffing and they hire qualified teachers and the community gets the proper teachings for Montessori experience.
The grant normally funds a few support positions and training, but it's been higher since last year to fill staffing gaps. CFOM granted the district more than $130,000 last year, which included a full-time teacher. But McNutt says the school still needs to spend more than usual this year to meet its staffing needs.
The school district and the principal came to us and said, we would like you to fund a full-time para position that could help out the part-time teacher.
The district allows organizations like CFOM and parent teacher associations to make this type of donation for any of the district's schools. But at the Juneau Board of Education meeting last week, the grant raised questions about equity. Board member Amber Fromhurst raised the concern, saying she appreciates the efforts to fund the school's program, but worries about how all schools in the district can be funded equally.
Even if all the other schools are able to and have site councils that are able to do something like this, that does not mean that all schools could have site councils capable of doing something like this.
Funding for the additional position at Montessori Borealis comes as the district faces more than 90 open positions at the beginning of the school year. Amber Fromhurst serves on KTOO's board of directors. And Southeast Alaska's regional tribe is calling for the city and borough of Sitka to reverse a decision denying the construction of a tall tower in a neighborhood. An appeal hearing on Thursday, representatives from the tribe's telecommunications company, the city, and a group of residents opposing the tower's construction made their case before a judge who oversaw the local Board of Adjustment hearing. KCAW's Catherine Rose reports.
Tidal Network, an internet service run by the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska, applied to construct a cell tower in a residential area of Sitka this spring. Sitka allows cell towers up to 35 feet tall, but anything taller requires an additional permit. Tidal Network wanted to build a 120-foot tall tower. The Sitka Planning Commission denied the request. On August 21st, Judge Max Garner oversaw the hearing of Tidal Network's appeal. Municipal attorney Rachel Jones said the city wasn't denying that Tidal could build a tower, just denying one that tall. Jones said among the several reasons for the commission's denial, there was limited evidence that a 35-foot tower would not provide sufficient coverage in the area.
They've got a right to build a 35-foot tower. They've got a right to put that public utility infrastructure in. And they admitted on the record that it would provide some coverage. Whether that coverage is optimized for their business plan, whether it's optimized for their federal grants, the terms of which they also did not submit to the Planning Commission, is only Sitka's problem if it's denying them a property right. If it's not optimizing their property right, that's a problem for their business plan, but that's not the code denying them a property right.
But Douglas Bonner, an attorney representing Tidal Network, said they'd provided the commission with an expert who said the shorter tower would provide only 25% of the coverage of the 120-foot tower. Bonner said Tidal Network had met its burden to demonstrate a significant coverage gap in the area the tower would address. At that point, he said it was on the city to find an alternative.
Then it was incumbent upon the city to show the existence of some potentially available and technologically feasible alternative to the proposed location. Unfortunately, the city failed to meet its burden.
Tidal Network is partnering with the Sitka Tribe of Alaska to improve telecommunication services in Sitka. Alicia Guthrie is the tribe's economic development director. She says the Sitka Tribe of Alaska was issued a broadband license from the Federal Communications Commission in 2021. The local tribe and Tlingit and Haida have entered an agreement to protect that spectrum and ultimately provide more robust internet service to Sitka.
Without the variance, the 35-foot tower would serve between 1,000 and 1,500 citizens. With this variance approval, the capacity increases fivefold, with up to 5,000 citizens being served.
While the tower has supporters, it has also seen pushback from neighbors. Attorney Scott McCullough represented a group of them called Sitkins for Safe Tech. He said a major concern was the construction of the tower behind homes on a steep hillside.
But you need to very carefully take a look at where they're proposing to put this thing. Because if that tower or the pad that it's sitting on were to move in any respect, it's going to hit these folks. It's going to put their life and their property at risk. And that's why we're all here today.
Bonner, representing Tidal Network, challenged that suggestion.
The hyperbole about putting people at risk is really silly. This is going to kill people. Look, the purpose for this tower is to install safe and build safe infrastructure to serve the community. Tlingit and Haida is not in the business of putting people at risk or putting its investment at risk.
After hearing arguments from all sides and a rebuttal from the city, Judge Garner requested more information from Tidal Network. Garner said he will issue a decision by September 12th. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
And Nome has long struggled with a high number of missing persons cases, many involving Alaska Native residents. Without a system that immediately alerts people via broadcast or phone, communication often falls through the cracks. Now a new app could change that. As KNOM's Wally Reyna reports, the tool could be the first of its kind used for the city and region.
2 months ago, Nome authorities and volunteers scrambled to locate a 67-year-old dementia patient who was staying at the regional hospital. He wandered away from the facility, prompting a more than 24-hour search by the Nome Volunteer Fire Department, the hospital, and residents. He was found alive, but the incident city manager Lee Smith says revealed deep problems within communication channels between the entities involved.
We could have jointly, fire, police, volunteers, the hospital, all of us could have done a better job if we could have communicated quickly with the public to find out what people saw, what they know, also fleshing through the bad information.
Smith's answer is the MyNo map, set to launch in the coming weeks. The city contracted Utah-based company TextMyGov for the app. The company assists local governments by designing mass texting programs. The city will pay over $6,000 for the first year and $4,800 for the years after. Smith says the company is attached with the Federal Emergency Management Agency, which coordinates the federal government's response to disasters. The app will connect to FEMA's Integrated Public Alert and Warning System, known as IPAWS, the same system that sends weather and amber alerts. He says if disaster strikes or a person goes missing, alerts will go out in 2 minutes.
Get people to sign up, but if they're like a missing person, it goes out. Some things, like a photograph, and will be in a link. You then will hit the link, and you would see the gentleman's photograph. You'll see more information.
Beyond emergencies, Smith envisions the app eventually having different groups for each type of alert.
Or you'd like to get event things. Tomorrow's the 4th of July deal, and you'd hit the link, see it, and go, cool. And we can have a link, and it shows, the whole day's events.
Smith says residents will be able to sign up in the coming weeks. He says the city will be setting up sign-up booths around town. There will also be sign-in to the airport with QR codes linking to the app. In Nome, I'm Wally Rana.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 64 degrees and sunny this afternoon. And this weather is expected to continue through the weekend. It might be a little bit cloudier on Saturday and Sunday. You're listening to KTOO.